Nicolai, University of Minnesota, Regional Extension Educator in Crops.
Dave, give us a sense of where planting delays have been the most problematic across Minnesota so far this spring.
Well, Mark, I think this year it's safe to say that I-90 corridor probably has suffered the most in terms of late spring rains and continued wetness. And those are some soils, if we get down along some of those counties next to the Iowa border, maybe one or two counties to the north, that are heavier soil type, clay content and so forth. And they do have obviously drainage situations where they have complete farms and tiles and so forth, but things get overwhelmed with that much rain, and subsequently we have had a lot of delays across that southern tier of counties. Somewhat delayed in southern Minnesota and south central, but with the larger equipment, they had a couple of good days. They were able to catch up. And then I think fairly normal if you go up to the Red River Valley into western Minnesota. A lot of crops are in. I know up in Dakota County and area and so forth where I'm at, things are very good as well.
So based on that, I would imagine that crop development is quite variable right now. Some corn that's maybe just been planted. How far along is the corn that was planted earlier this spring?
Well, some of the earliest planted corn is now between 4 to 5 to 6 leaf, depending upon where you're at and located. With the recent heat units that we've had over the Memorial Day weekend, when we were close into the 90s for several days in a row, subsequently we had a lot of corn growth, Mark, and so that's really come along, and the beans and, of course, the weeds as well. So that's really the status of it, but I didn't get a chance to travel this past weekend down to the Mabel, Minnesota area down in southern Fillmore County, and I know that the corn is, it's just barely coming out of the ground or very small there as well. And as you travel from south to north, really in a lot of areas, we have the south central part of the state probably ahead of those counties on the southern tier once again in terms of total corn height.
What are the characteristics of weeds given the unique weather conditions we've seen so far this spring? I would imagine that this is an atypical spring from a weed management standpoint.
Well, it certainly is. I mean, in a lot of cases, we were doing probably a little bit later tillage than normal. Typically we have that sweet spot of that last week in April to get a lot of our corn planted in Minnesota. But because of the snow and the wet conditions in April, that pushed things off. In some cases, obviously, that did take out that early flush of weeds, but now with the moisture and so forth, we've had a lot of weed growth, primarily giant ragweed and lamb's quarters. I've heard from a number of growers across the state. Those are the two weeds that came, of course, that will pop up early, and then they get rapid height to them. In fact, we're probably to the point where the giant ragweed emergence is almost getting complete here. But nonetheless, we're having very large weeds, and so that's going to be a challenge for growers because they'll have a differential in height out in the field, particularly on the edges of the field. We're expecting water hemp, obviously, which keeps coming all season long, and that's now coming up as well. So we always encourage people that are using soybeans in terms of pre-emergence to consider the layering of two applications of a pre-emergence herbicide if they have a known water hemp situation. We have other situations, though, perhaps where they planted soybeans and they didn't get an opportunity to put a pre-emergence over the top. There's a lot of caution there, Mark, because of the fact that some of these herbicides, the PPO, the Group 14s, only have a very narrow 3-day window, and you've got to get those on, otherwise you're going to have a severe soybean injury. So there are a couple of herbicides that they can go over the top of, but I always encourage them to work with their crop consultant, crop supplier, ag professional, and so forth to figure out what those are.
And speaking of narrow windows, you and I have discussed dicamba quite a bit in the last year, and looking at that June 20th cutoff date that's been instituted by the Minnesota Department of Agriculture, given the late planting season, I would assume that you're hearing from a lot of growers that have concerns about being able to get the dicamba technology on in time, because they have to wait for the right conditions too.
Well, that's probably the case, and I know there's a lot of concern over the areas that had the really late planting. But I guess on the flip side, because of the recent warm weather, the other consideration here is weed height. And we know that in a lot of cases, we like to target that 1 to 4 inch weed. So given the fact that we're just rolling around here to the 1st of June, we really have a situation where People have to be timely, and there will probably be some of these applications with dicamba in the month of June, well ahead of the June 20th cutoff date. There's other things to consider, temperature, et cetera, and applications. But that being said, it might be that situation. So time will tell, and I think it'll be more of, a case in point along that very southern tier. But with the warm temperatures, I think we're really pushing these weeds. And so the applications, you have to look at it from an efficacy standpoint. You have to be very, very timely, because a lot of these products are not the same as glyphosate. They have limitations in terms of height. So really read those labels carefully and scout the fields.
What is your expectation for dicamba in 2018? With more than 200 drift complaints issued last year, we saw extensive training take place through the winter months. I would assume that we're going to see more dicamba-tolerant soybeans planted in 2018. But probably safe to say, Dave, that there still will be some issues of volatilization, drift. So what's your realistic expectation for this year?
Well, I think hopefully we'll see a reduction in some of those soybean-affected areas, again, primarily because we're targeting that time slot ahead of when the soybeans become reproductive, and that's probably the key here. If it does move off target, we're talking about a vegetative state instead of reproductive. That being said, though, it's illegal to have a drift situation occur anyhow in terms of that off-target movement. So hopefully the training that was very extensive this last year will certainly help with that, and people will be mindful about that. And the wind, the one concern I have a little bit is on these temperature inversions. We seem to have had a number of them already in the afternoon from that 3 o'clock down to sunset. So that's when we really have a little bit more of a chance, obviously, of moving off target when we can't get a total distribution of the spray droplets and adequately throughout the field situation. Things become trapped a little bit more. So that's of concern. So we'll see what happens. It's a kind of a grand experiment to some extent. But hopefully the earlier there and the temperature cutoff in terms of temperature will help in those situations with that. I think also the adaptation of better sprayers, nozzles, and so forth, coarser droplets, will be of benefit as well. But keep in mind it's obviously not a substitute for maybe what they were doing before, that might be having to use a pre, post, and in combinations with that, particularly when we talk about water hemp.
I talked to Bruce Potter, it's probably been 3 weeks ago now, about black cutworm moths and the traps, the amount of moss that they were finding higher than other years. How has that fleshed itself out as we've moved further into the spring and now summer, Dave?
Well, we've had these weather systems continuing to move the moths from south to north. Again, they don't overwinter here in Minnesota. So we've had some of our traps up for a longer period of time than normal, just to keep track of that. But the bottom line is that we're now, with the temperature and some of the models that Bruce and other folks have put out and so forth, have indicated that we're in the prime area where people really need to be watching and scouting these cornfields, particularly if we're cutting, particularly on smaller corn, later planted corn, corn in a soybean rotation, a situation where the eggs might have been laid for cover. There has been feeding reports. There's been some cut corn reports across in different counties in southern Minnesota. So it's really right in the middle of when people should be actively looking. So I think we've had more activity, obviously, this year than we've had in previous years, and again, just given to the fact that we've had the bigger moth movement than we've ever had in the last couple of years in widespread areas, not just in a few counties in southwest Minnesota. So it is of concern, but hopefully with scouting applications and so forth, it won't be a widespread situation. But nonetheless, we do caution growers to look at their fields or work with someone that can look at them as a crop consultant, et cetera.
Are there many disease concerns this early in the season? I don't know if some farmers, just based on input prices, went away from some seed treatments potentially. We've had the wet conditions, but also it's been warm. So I don't know if there's really much to talk about on the disease front. Is there, Dave?
Well, I think time will tell a little bit on the soybeans, and that's probably the biggest concern at this point in time are some of those seedling diseases. A lot of soybeans obviously come with a seed treatment already in from the standpoint of the seed supplier or the seed company. But keep in mind that, you know, that can happen, obviously, with different situations, whether it's, you know, rhizoctonia, pythium, other types of seedling diseases that may be established or in a field, particularly dependent upon soil type and drainage, et cetera. So if there's, again, an opportunity to look at the field, if you see plants that are obviously fading or dying or dead and situations with that, those are opportunities to get those looked at. We have a plant disease lab at the clinic at the University of Minnesota. Other seed suppliers might have other options as well, but certainly maybe get a handle on what actually did happen in the field if that was the case. We have the opportunity, obviously, of having warmer temperatures, which helps us. We're not cold and wet, but some of these diseases still can become apparent even under warm, wet conditions as well. So we'll see how things develop here, especially with their prediction of rain here this Saturday. Again, I don't know how widespread that'll be, but we'll have moist conditions continuing.
The last thing I've got for you, I really haven't talked to many people about cover crops this spring, but I would think with the wet, cold April and now the hot, wet May, that for a person that's utilizing cover crops, making sure to terminate that cover, plant into it, things like that, could have been a little bit off schedule. Have you come across many issues on with cover crops in the late spring?
I haven't personally in a lot of these areas, but I've heard reports about, you know, being timely, and that's always the issue with applications to take the cover crop out to reseed back, and I can see certainly where that would be an issue in terms of having a narrow window, depending upon if you're in that southern tier of counties or southwestern area to make those applications. I've seen some of it in terms of even in sugar beets, which is not really a traditional cover crop, but they're growing a small grain crop or oats, say, for example, to protect the emerging beets. And some of the growers having, you know, to fight the wind and the difficulty because they want to terminate that growth to allow the sugar beets to come up through. But the traditional cover crop situation would still be plagued by, obviously, wet weather. There'll be other opportunities as we go forward, you know, for interseeding perhaps, you know, and standing crops, and again in the fall. But that would be a situation there, too, plus the fact that we are just later on in the year.
Anything else that you want to make sure we touch on today, Dave?
Well, if you have alfalfa, it's probably good to take a look at that. I know Bruce has talked about some reports and concerns about alfalfa weevil, but just to sweep in the alfalfa, monitor that. Of course, the rapid growth of alfalfa, too, from a quality standpoint. And I know we've done some scissors cutting out of the Stearns County office. Randy Pepin and so forth have been involved with that. And so there are some reports about the quality there, but we're nearing that time and opportunity as well. So from the standpoint of alfalfa, that's an important crop. We just can't be ignoring that as compared to corn and soybeans as well, particularly for dairy producers.